Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brett Hayes, professor, let's talk politics close to home. Give us a view on two congressional races that are very interesting to us. Let's try the 19th district. Who's running there?
So you have the incumbent Republican, Chris Gibson, who has held the seat since 2010 and has proved himself to be a pretty sophisticated campaigner and politician and is fairly popular in the district. And he'll be going up against somewhat of an intriguing Democratic challenger in Sean Eldridge. Eldridge is currently the president of an investment corporation down in the Hudson Valley. He previously served as the political director of Freedom to Marry, which was a marriage equity advocacy group that played a pretty sizable role in legalizing marriage in New York State. I guess it's also notable, I hate to in some ways talk about spouses, but he's also married to Chris Hughes, who is the co-founder of Facebook and is the owner of the New Republic.
And Chris Hughes has a lot of money, right?
Yeah, he does. Eldridge himself is
wealthy,
well financed.
Yes.
These are well connected individuals. And they will be very, or excuse me, they, he, Eldridge will be well financed.
And one of the things I don't know that I've heard Gibson say it, but others have, that he's just come into the district in order to run for Congress. He's a quote carpetbagger.
Yeah, he has a major carpetbagger concern because he's moved in in January of 2013. That's really recently. He's going to have to do quite a bit to, in fact, demonstrate that he can represent that district well. But I think to his credit, his experience with Freedom to Marry, that was a grassroots organization. That's an organization that kind of built from the ground up. And so he may well have the ability to mobilize citizens in support of him and to do some of the things that are necessary to demonstrate that you aren't somebody that is just trying to take advantage of a candidate that's perceived as somewhat vulnerable because of the demographics of the electoral district, and that you will have the best interests of the district at heart when you're representing them. It's kind of an intriguing race and one that I think is going to turn quite a bit on, whether in fact Eldridge can demonstrate that he is a New Yorker, that he is somebody that has sufficient enough roots in the Hudson Valley to convince voters to cast their vote for him.
Is there any known polling on this?
No, there's very little polling as of this point. I mean, I've seen some things that I discount most of the polling that I've seen thus far because it was too early, that shows Gibson has a slight advantage early on. And that's what you would expect early on with a rather unknown candidate that, incumbency has its advantage. The one thing that I think we know is that Eldridge is going to have an uphill battle because, again, Gibson is fairly popular. This is a time in which some of the other things are kind of cutting against Eldridge as the Democrat, a fairly unpopular president, although in the district, Obama's popularity would be higher. The economy just kind of getting back to life. Those two things, presidential approval, the state of the economy, are two of the major drivers of congressional elections.
So let's go to the 21st district. What's going on there?
Yeah, similar kind of dynamic in the sense that there is another candidate that has that carpetbagger tag. Elise Stefanik is the Republican candidate in
the
21st.
She won in a primary.
She won in the primary. That carpetbagger tag, which was applied at that time, was not a problem, but she's someone from the Capital District area, whose parents had a seasonal home in the North Country, and so this is yet another case in which somebody has to actually appear as if they have the bona fides to represent the district.
And the opponent.
The opponent's Aaron Wolf, who is the Democrat. And if, since I'm kind of focusing on problems, his problem may actually be that there is a Green Party candidate running as well. And we've seen in the 21st district in the past the ability of a third party candidate to siphon off some of the votes. That actually happened for the Republicans because of a conservative candidate back in the special election of, I think it was 2009.
Right. And that's how Bill Owens got elected.
That's right. That's right. And this is a very tight district. It is a district that I'll say leans Democratic. Obama won the district, I think, by 6.1%. But Owens in the last election won by under 2%.
So if you, with your political science hat on, had to make a call on this one, where do you think it's heading? I'll give you mine, by the way.
Right. I mean, I think Democrats in close and competitive elections are facing uphill battles.
I agree with that.
Right. You know, the conditions are just not ripe for them.
Okay. Now, I want, because we only have a couple of minutes, I want to go back down to Nan Hayworth versus Sean Patrick Maloney. Now, this district likes to throw its congressman out every once in a while.
Right.
They do that. You got Maloney, you've got Nan Hayworth, who is, as you know, as far as I can see, just about as far right as anybody in the party and follows the party dictates. And then you have Maloney, who has money also, but who is competitive.
Yeah. One of the things that we see in all of these elections is that money is a major dynamic, right? We've talked about it with Eldridge, with Stefanik in New York 21. Something I didn't say was she's, you know, a pretty well-respected Washington or a Republican insider. She worked in the Bush administration, and during the Republican primary there, she had the backing of Grassroots America, which is Karl Rove's super PAC. And so there was quite a bit of money flooding in support of her. And we're going to see that same dynamic in this race between Maloney
and we should point out that Nan Hayworth was a congresswoman from that district.
Right.
Then she lost to Maloney. So now this is a sort of a grudge match.
Yeah, and I'll call them heavyweights, right? I mean, you know, we've had this kind of go back and forth now, and you know, this will be kind of an interesting, you know, I'll say ratification of Maloney's first term, right? It is one of those things that, you know, 2 years is not a lot of time to get much done. But, you know, the little things that you can do to build up support may be enough to create enough separation between you and your challenger to give you that victory.
So they had thrown out John Hall a number of years ago, who was criticized by some for not being hands-on enough with his district and doing the kinds of things a congressman has to do.
Yeah, no, constituent service, right? I mean, always such a big thing about appearing to your constituency that you are concerned with the issues that plague them, and providing some degree of accessibility to the federal bureaucracy in terms of representation.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, but we're almost out of time. Tell me who's going to win this one.
since I just said that this is an uphill battle for Republicans, I should go with Hayworth. But here I'll go with incumbency just to mix it up a little bit, and I'll go with Maloney.
We always love talking to Brad Hayes, associate professor of political science at Union College and scholar in residence right here, one of the brightest people I know. Thank you so much, Brad.
Always a pleasure.